This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In the meantime, though, we're taking a look at some features making the local headlines, specifically that Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has said Malaysia has been bullied into closing Iranian-linked bank accounts. Now, he explained that although Malaysia's ties with Iran are, and I quote, very good, there were strong pressures to take this action. Otherwise, Malaysian banks abroad would have been closed.
Yeah, and as a result, in recent months, Iranian nationals have rallied to raise awareness of what some are calling a mass closure of their bank accounts belonging to citizens of particular countries. And I think in particular, not just Iranians, but Syrians, Yemenis, Afghans, etc. And some of those affected are accusing the Malaysian banks of discrimination.
So this morning, let's hear from someone directly impacted by this. Now, Dr. Behrang Samadi is an Iranian national and a university lecturer in Malaysia. He has lived in Malaysia for 14 years. Now, Dr. Behrang, could you explain it for us what your experience has been with Malaysian banks recently?
Actually, the things that happened earlier time, the Maybank actually has stopped to renew the Iranian the credit cards and ATM cards for the Iranians. As an example, earlier time, 2 years ago, Maybank actually did not renew my credit card, but it was okay because I still had my own ATM card and debit card, which was fine. A few months ago, I received also a letter from CIMB. That they mentioned that they're going to close my bank account soon, and they asked me to go to the bank to close my account. I didn't go to the bank, and my bank account is still open, but I'm expecting that the CIMB close my account soon. The officer at Maybank also told us, in case if I lose or miss my debit card, I cannot request for any new debit card. Means if it's stolen or lost, it's considered as a gun. But I can tell you, I'm among the lucky people because a lot of other people, especially a lot of students, have been affected. Their bank account has been closed. Even there are some Iranians here that they highlighted the issue in the social media that they don't have any bank accounts and they are struggling with that. Yeah, I'm still among those lucky people that they still have my Maybank account and I still have my own ATM card. I didn't miss it. I still have it.
And what explanation do the banks provide when an individual has their bank account closed?
Some of the banks say bank policy, they didn't want to explain, but some other officers said because of the nationality. Clearly, because of the nationality. News mostly highlighted Iranians, but it's not only referring to Iranians. Some other nationalities, example like Syrian and Yemenis, also involved.
Now, we've heard that banks like CIMB, RHB and Maybank are involved, but are the issues just limited to these banks or are foreign banks like Citi and HSBC also involved?
These kinds of banks, actually, from long time ago, they stopped giving us the service. I can tell you that HSBC has closed my account 9 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. But even at that time, HSBC was very tough to some foreign nations, including Iranians. I actually opened a bank account in HSBC because of my earlier employer, although they closed my account 9 years ago.
So, Dr. Behrang, have you heard of any similar issues maybe occurring in other countries also in this region?
Yeah, I don't have much information about Southeast Asian countries, but among the Western countries, I have many friends, relatives, cousins. My graduate students, they've been to Western countries like US, like Canada, like Germany, Australia, New Zealand. They didn't have any problem. The only countries that I've heard about the problem are Malaysia, China, and to some extent, Georgia.
And do you experience similar incidences outside of banking?
Is also be applied for some other services like insurances. Some of the insurance companies also are not giving any services to Iranians, especially some essential services, which is extremely important for the students, like health or medical insurance. They don't provide it for Iranians as well, and also certain nationalities.
And what steps have you taken? Did you enlist any legal help to address this?
I didn't make any legal action, but I've heard some people actually hired the lawyers, and so far there is no resolution. But we have approached the Iranian embassy, and the Iranian embassy said that they are aware about that matter. They discuss with Malaysian government, they are negotiating, they are having some hopes because they say that they have very good relationship with Malaysian government, and they are having some hopes to solve this problem. But the situation still remains the same.
Thank you so much, Dr. Berang. And that was Dr. Berang Samadi. He's an Iranian national living in Malaysia. And honestly, I actually can't quite imagine how difficult it must be to be in a foreign country and not have access to any of your banking facilities, not have access to insurance. It's terrifying.
And of course, although the good Prime Minister, Tun Mahathir, did not say which country in particular he meant, one must assume he means the Americans and obviously the Americans putting pressure on Malaysian banks to do likewise, because of course the Americans have issues with Iran, especially with regard to the trade sanctions, which I think began in the late 70s when the exile Shah of Iran was allowed to go and emigrate, to escape to the US, and which then triggered the radical students' capture of the US embassy and the hostages were inside, and then it's kind of like just snowballed since then. So in a way, it's America's quarrel has become our quarrel as well.
Yeah, but apparently we are not the only country implementing this, because I did some searching and there was an article in Singapore newspapers where some Iranians who live in Singapore were affected. They had their accounts at OCBC terminated without knowledge also, and it also was of great inconvenience to some of them, especially one of them was actually on holiday and suddenly he had no access to his credit card.
Yeah.
So I don't think Malaysia is the only one, because I also Googled and apparently it is the case in another Eastern European country.
So if you want to do business with the Americans, then you've also got to abide by some of their rules. And I presume Maybank CIMB have got rep offices in America. But also interesting to hear him say that China is also imposing the same kind of restrictions on their national accounts, nationals' accounts. So, which is a bit interesting, because obviously China and the Americans are not, the best of friends at this point in time.
Yeah, a lot of questions, I think, still outstanding with regards to this issue. But also this morning, we have had some other news to do with the Malaysia on the US currency watch list, because the finance minister, Lim Guan Eng, has said that the government's confidence Malaysia will eventually be removed from that watch list of potential currency manipulators as the country continues to abide by rules set out by the World Trade Organization, or the WTO. Now, Malaysia, along with Singapore and Vietnam, made it to the watch list for the first time in May and is expected to remain on the list as new additions are generally kept for two reports.
Interesting. So I thought Bank Negara was a lot of things, but currency manipulator. This must have come in the wake of, I think, at the time, Dato' MI, right, trying to control the capital flow, essentially, of ringgits going out. And he did those restrictions last year. It 2 years ago? 2 years ago, right?
2 years ago. But even then, we have kind of unwound this, So the prospect of Malaysia being labelled a US dollar manipulator is low, according to our finance minister, although we need to fulfil three criteria set by the US Treasury in this regard. Now, he said that Malaysia does not fulfil one of the criteria, which is the amount of net foreign currency purchased by the central bank. It has to be at least 2% of GDP, and we are not a net purchaser. Malaysia was also cited for its bilateral trade surplus with the US worth $27 billion last year and a current account surplus of 2.1% GDP.
So basically, under these rules, and again, American rules, all central banks that want to abide by these rules must buy at least 2% of their GDP in terms of foreign currency?
Well, you think about it, right? Mm. All this is just a way of kind of forcing you to do something. I mean,
yeah, right. It's basically telling you to trade the currencies and any,
or trade with the US,
or trade dollars essentially, right?
Yeah.
To keep it liquid.
And I mean, when you think about it, if we rewind back to the sanction story in terms of the Iranians, this is really how the war is being fought today, right?
Yeah.
When you just impose the sanctions and everything just shuts down.
Yeah, I mean, Iran is one of the world's biggest producers of oil, number four or something, right? And now they can't do business with Americans, clearly one of the biggest markets in the world.
No, if you look at the GDP growth for Iran also, it's every time the US reimposes sanctions, their economy tanks.
Yeah.
It contracted by 8% at one point.
Were they allowed to come back to oil markets like a couple of years ago?
They
That's
were
in a limited
at,
way
at
now, right?
One time when relations were better, especially during the Obama era, but that has kind of rewound with Trump in the White House. It's just that, you can see America using their economic superpower to kind of, I admit, push their weight around the world. And also towards Malaysia by putting us on this list, kind of signaling, hey, watch out.
Yeah.
Mm. So the finance minister has, of course, said there is no deliberate devaluation of the Malaysian ringgit. Its value is purely determined by market forces. So he did add there was a global trend where some countries are inclined towards devaluing their currency to ensure cheaper exports for a wider global market. But that is not the case here in Malaysia.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.